Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. Grateful, thankful.
Yes.
Who am I speaking to?
It's Denise and Eric.
Denise and Eric, praise the Lord. I saw the login as Eric Richardson. I just wanted to make sure because Eric doesn't sound like you.
How you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed, Eric. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good, good. Brother Lachi, thank you for joining. God bless.
Hey.
Eric, Denise, thank you for joining. Brother Arnold, thank you for joining.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to start as we're waiting on other people to join us. I'm going to go around the room. Brother Eric and Sister Denise, I'll start with Eric. How was your week?
Oh, pretty good. Busy at work.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's it?
It's the same old stuff every day.
Gotcha. Yeah. You're not seeing God do anything different, new?
Yeah. I see he got my ankles feeling better because my ankles were swole for a while. From working too much, but things are getting better, and I feel better.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise God. Good to hear. Sister Denise, how's your week going?
Babe, he said, how your week going? Yeah, I went to the bathroom real quick.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll come back to it. Brother Latif.
Hey. Yeah,
hey,
a lot's been going on since the last time we talked.
Yeah,
very eventful. Really, I feel like God is like really getting me used to, you know, really relying on Him and like really seeing the schemes. I'm becoming more and more familiar with it as I go on, and I ended up finishing 1 Corinthians. I'm in 2 Corinthians now, and everything that I gathered from, you know, 1 Corinthians. Because we were reading a little bit last week, was we're really the body of Christ, and you know, really using our gifts for each other, and like you know, thinking of all of us as you know, limbs and organs and stuff like that. You know, the body of Christ, like we all play a part with each other. And what I really gather from that is like all of us, like we really need to like take care of each other, be there for each other, and stuff like that. And you know, just really, you know, be thankful that we have a leader like Pastor Monroe. You know, that, you know, guides us, you know, through the, you know, the grace and the knowledge of, you know, the Holy Spirit and God and stuff like that. So just really understanding how we all just really need to think of all of each other as like all playing a part, all got our gifts, all use our gifts for each other and helping each other out. And, you know, basically all walking down the road, you know, to whenever the Lord decides to come. So that's what I got out of that. 1 Corinthians.
That's powerful. That's super powerful. Yeah, because that I think you're spot on. I think the faster and the more sincere and intentional we become about loving and taking care of the body of Christ, I think that we, you know, I look at it this way. The more I take care of God's family, the more He seems to take care of mine. And I think that part of that is because learning to take care of God's people breaks the concept of selfishness. where everything is about me or my own, right? Because, you know, there's a scripture that in the book of Matthew where Jesus says something that it blew my mind some years ago when I read it, and he said this. He said, you know, what man, if his son asked for bread, would give him, you know, a rock? And then he went on to say, if he asked for meat, what man would give his child a stone? But then he said this right after. He said, but I want you to know even the evil know how to do that. Anybody can take care of themselves. It's when we become selfless enough to reach out and be concerned about others, not in the general text of, well, you know, I'm loving my neighbor because I don't say nothing to them. And they keep me out of their business and keep them out of my business. Yeah. But not that concept, but the concept of how do I help people even if they don't know I'm helping? Because I can see the problem and I know that I can help with that. And I think that, so what you said was very powerful. I think the more we learn how to do that, and believe it or not, hey, Sofangi.
Hey.
God bless. Brother Dewan, I see you here. Bless you, man of God. Thank you for being here.
Welcome.
Hey, Dewan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, sister. Angie. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I am good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that, and believe it or not, one of the ways, and I know this may come off a little funny to people, because every time a pastor mentions money, people start, you know, you mention money, the church gets funny. But even the offerings that are that God has set up for the people to do, not tithing, because that's Old Testament, not tithing, even though you can still give 10% and you'll get back if you know what you're doing. But even offerings are a form of disciplining us to stop being selfish. That's the whole point of it, because I can have $100 and give it to McDonald's and have $2 that I'll put into an offering. And I never understand that. I think McDonald's is better than God, and never catch that little subtlety, and it'll affect my growth for as long as I'm in the church. And so that's why I believe many churches have people that walk around and stick a basket in front of you and go, put it in, right? Because they're sort of kind of forcing people to learn to not be selfish, even though our church is not going to do that, because it's a responsibility of each believer to have a relationship with their Father first. Because if we had a relationship, He'd tell you what to give, when to give, who to give to, because the church ain't the only place to give. There's people around you that God is trying to unction you to help. And a lot of times you'll sit back and fight with your own thoughts and go, I'm not doing that. They ain't going to be grateful. They ain't going to be this. And He didn't ask you to ask them for gratitude. He asked you to bless them anyway. And so, I'm saying that's powerful. The more we learn how to do for others, the more we allow God to do for us. It's a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that, Latif. Brother Arnold, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. You know, just, man, excited to be here, man, for real, man. You know, just my week been going great. I've just been trying to make sure that I just stay with the Holy Spirit guiding me. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's easier said than done, because I almost had a slip-up this morning. I had to bring myself back into the flesh. I mean, back into the spirit, you know what I'm saying? For real, because, you know what I mean? Because we're jumping to our flesh, too, you know what I'm saying? And we have to be conscious of that, man. So I've just been just trying to make sure I'm just letting the Holy Spirit guide me.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome.
I wanted to do an invite to that.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, is everybody on the line that's going to be? No. Not everybody's on.
No, because you know, some people joined at 5:40, some joined at 5:45. We've had people joining as late as 6 o'clock, and you know, it just is as people are there. But you do have quite a few people here, so by all means, go right ahead.
Okay, so I live in Janesville, and I hope all my brothers and sisters know that I live in Janesville. But I am inviting you guys out, whoever wants to come, to my first and my second event. So,
okay.
Behind the scenes,
okay.
With God's, you know, training and anointing and Pastor Moreau's teachings and trainings and all that other stuff, I have been given the privilege and opportunity to have an event. It turned out that we're going to have two events. So I'm not going to be preaching because I want to start off with moderating and learning how to get up and do what I have to do for God. So
mm-hmm.
I chose not to preach at these two events that I'm having. I will be preaching
mm-hmm.
in the near future, but I know for sure the bishop, Danny Evans, had said that I have to next year when I do the tea party, I am preaching and doing all of that. But I will be doing the altar call and everything. I want to invite you guys out because on October 20th, the flyers are coming out next week. I wanted to invite
okay.
you guys out mm-hmm. for the tea party. It's going to be for women. Because Bishop kind of figured, you know, and Dad said the same thing. I mean, Pastor Jim Monroe said the same thing, too. Tea party for a man? Nah. So I was going to open it up for men. But to my sisters, we are going to be doing a tea party. And I would love for you guys to come out. You guys can wear whatever you want to wear. If you want to wear a tea party hat, the gloves, the whole shebang. I want every woman to come in there feeling beautiful. You know, and being free in the Lord, and we're going to be having breakout sessions on healing. I got five different topics that's going to be in the breakout sessions for healing, and then we're going to end it with, first we're going to do teas and all that other stuff and coffees and things to eat and stuff like that, and then we'll do the breakout sessions, and then it's going to go into a group worship. On
awesome.
October 26th, I put together, well, the bishop and everybody else, we kind of, I'll be giving my testimony and I'll be moderating that. And I will be doing the altar call on that day. We're going to be doing a worship in pink day and a day of miracles where we're going to have people giving their testimonies on people who have been through cancer and all that other stuff and giving God all the glory. So that's going to be October 25th here in Janesville, and I will get the flyers out to everybody.
Okay, you said October 25th and 25th?
25th and 26th. So the tea party is for the women,
and
I'm doing that because I'm over the women's group. So we're doing that in honor of the women's group and stuff like that to get more women to come together in Christ. And also we're opening the doors to everybody in the community too, to get souls, you know, into the churches.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So October 25th, tea party, October 26th, worship in pink.
Yeah. Worship in pink. And then if you come with the pink suit, come, if you want to come with the pink suit, don't hold back. Everybody should be wearing pink. So there's going to be a worship day in pink, and real men do wear pink.
You.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Angela. Also, we have Sister Hawanda. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
God bless. Greetings, family.
Greetings, greetings.
Hello. This is Dwanda.
Hey, yeah.
Yes.
Hey.
Dwan, you sound so
are...
good.
Thanks so much, Sister Dwanda. Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah,
hey, Sister Wanda,
good, huh?
Sister Wanda, how's your son doing?
He's doing better. He's doing better.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Connections in the community, and I'm grateful for the prayers of my family. My family, so appreciate you for standing in the
Amen.
Gap for.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yep.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer. It's 5:43. We're going to open up with prayer. We want to welcome Brother Eric and his fiancée, Denise.
Welcome.
They have joined us tonight. Yep. Well, go ahead around the room and welcome them. Amen.
Yes.
Welcome.
All right, Eric and Denise, they didn't welcome you right out. They would praise the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being here.
How's that?
Amen. So we're going to have opening prayer, and then we're going to go back to, we were in the book of Corinthians, right? First Corinthians,
yep.
Right? Yes,
sir. We're in the 15th chapter, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, we didn't finish the 15th chapter, though. I think we got real lively last week on the 15th chapter. And I don't think we got through the whole thing, so we're going to pick up. Does anybody remember where we left off?
Probably.
I want to say verse 10.
No, we got past. Last time we started at 10, Brother Arnold. I believe I don't know how far on the next page we went down, but I'm not sure.
I think we ended up on 32.
Okay.
Verse 32 to say, if after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage does it have for me if the dead have not risen? Let us eat and drink and just do whatever we want to do, because that means that Jesus is not real, and that the thing that took place with him, birth, death, and resurrection, if it didn't happen, we all in trouble. That's what Paul said. Mm-hmm. You're in some real trouble. Your sin still remains. So I think we left off on that particular scripture. We're going to read on from there, but I think we should review a little bit of 15 just to make sure that Brother Eric and Sister Denise are caught up to where we are. Does that make sense? So
yes, sir.
I'm going to ask Sister Denise, are you there?
Yeah, she went to the car to get something out the car.
Oh, that's supposed to be traveling, huh?
Yeah.
On the move. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Arnold Evans to open us up in prayer tonight. Take us before the throne of grace and mercy, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Lord. Father God, I come before you today, Lord God. Thank you for everything you are doing, Father God, in our lives. Thank you for everybody who's on the line right now, Father God.
Yes, God.
Thank you.
The people that's not on the line right now, Father God, for whatever reason, bless them, Lord God, and what they're going through.
Amen.
Ask, Lord God, that you open our hearts up, Lord God, and have us receive the message that you would like us to receive, Father God.
Yeah.
Continue to keep guiding and protecting us, Father God.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. We are alive in Christ. Glory to God. And in fact, that's what we're going to get into as we go through this. Verse 22 is just an eye opener. And I don't think we should read the whole thing because it'll take us too much time. We probably won't get through it again tonight because there's just so much wisdom in the Word of Life. If you really just hunker down, and as Brother Arnold prayed, allow the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. It's one thing to read some word. It's another thing to read a book. When you read the word is spirit. The Bible said, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so when we read the word of God, you should be asking the Holy Spirit internally, explain to me how this works in my life, right? Individually. Because all of us are in different places, right? All of us are on different steps when it comes down to the ladder of the kingdom. Some of us are on the fifth rung, some may be on the 20th, some may be on the second rung, but we're all in different places. And so the Holy Ghost knows where we are, and he can teach you where you are. And it's important to know that if you allow yourself to rise up to the Spirit of Christ that lives in you, the Holy Ghost will teach you right from that book, and you'll get revelation on top of revelation. Praise the Lord. Revelation on top of revelation. Because we already have a lot of information, and for some of us, the information has been a mess. The Holy Ghost will organize the information to turn it into revelation.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Right? Yes.
So I'm gonna ask Sister Hawanda, if you'd be kind enough to read starting at verse 10 and read all the way down to verse 22 so that we all get this. Verse 10 through 22, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put myself on mute. I'm eating right now, Pastor. Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. Eat for the flesh. Eat for the spirit, brother. Thank you. Yes, sir.
So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10?
Yes, 15.
Chapter 15, verse 10. Yep.
Okay. I can wait on you, sis. You there?
I got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen.
It says, but by the grace of Yah, I am what I am. And the grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not but the grace of Yah which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that we rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are all found false witnesses of Yah, because we have testified of Yah that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if he be not that dead. Let's say that again. Whom he raised not up, if so be that he dead, the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in the life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men amongst most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. You said read 21 to 21, right? For since by men came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Amen. Anybody want to comment on that and kind of see if we remember where we were? What is Paul talking about? What is his point?
So Paul was talking about people who don't believe in the resurrection, and then people who don't believe, you know, the other levels that go with it. You know, all of us are just doing this in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to get to a place, I'm thinking, it's saying a place to, you know, overcome that, and we have to walk by faith. This is a whole faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with what she's saying. It is saying that, like, he's saying that some people are saying that they don't believe in a resurrection. How do you say it?
The resurrection.
The resurrection. Some people don't believe in the resurrection. And he was saying, like, well, if you guys don't believe it, and everybody who died for this before, what we've been preaching, y'all saying is false. You know, you're saying Yahweh didn't die like this. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I get from it.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's go, Brother Lati.
Yeah, just basically a lot of people who, you know, like they're saying, if they don't believe in the resurrection, they're basically just like, so basically we're out here dying, doing all these things, putting all this, you know, incredible effort into spreading the word and all that other stuff, basically dead works.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're implying. And like, we're not, like, we're really out here doing this because he really did, you know, rise from the dead. So, yeah, that's what I got from that.
All right. Brother Eric, you want to take a shot at that? Did you read
it? I don't have my Bible. I was just listening in. My Bible is in the car. Denise gonna bring it up when she come back up. But what I get from just y'all reading, it seems like people faith one strong. Like their faith their faith wasn't strong, and they didn't believe in what they really didn't see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So remember last week we talked about the Sanhedrin. Anybody remember that? That word, the Sanhedrin. Right. Remember inside of the Sanhedrin, which was a sort of kind of political religious group. Inside of the Sanhedrin was the Pharisees
and
the lawyers, the Sadducees, right, mm-hmm. and the scribes. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. The scribes were the ones, they were the writers, they were the ones, they were the keepers of the oracles of God. The Pharisees were the legal body of God, and many of them were Levitical priests. And then the Sadducees were people that were sort of kind of right in the middle, and they were the ones who believed in their God, Yahweh, right? They believed in the Hebrew Israelite God, and they saw and witnessed the miracles of Jesus Christ and saw all of that, but they still had a mindset, but no, he didn't get resurrected. You all lying about that part. They still believed that. And so they were in that place, and Paul was arguing, deliberating is a better word, with them saying, well, think about what you're saying, right? Think about this. If there was no resurrection from the dead, then every church you started is in vain. If there's no resurrection from the dead, all those people that you're out there feeding in the name of God and Jesus Christ is nil. It's nothing. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then all the sin that you've been in is still on you. Now, and here's the part that makes this so magnificent, because our Bible says that you reap what you sow. And so if there's no forgiveness through the power of the resurrection, birth, death, resurrection, then every sin you've ever committed is going to come back at you. Because they're saying, so Christ's grace didn't wipe it out for you. Therefore, your sin is still on you. That's why he got to that point with them. He was trying to get them to realize, and if you avoid it, and I would say even as the body of Christ right now, if you think about some of the things we did before Christ, of course, if you think about some of the stuff you did and pulled off and so forth and so on, it would become obvious that Jesus is real, because some of us have not paid for it since we've been saved. Before you were saved, you had a penalty taking place almost all the time. Police stopping you. People gunning after you, folks arguing, cussing, fussing with you all the day long, people denying you entryway to opportunity. And since Christ comes into the picture and you have saved, a lot of that grace has removed. That's why the Bible says God will take your sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west. That he'll throw your sins into a sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore. Because in all reality, the minute you accepted Christ, the crisis started to passing. The minute that you accepted Christ, there's some stuff that some of us have done. Believe it or not, some of us should not even be here. And Paul is really saying things like that to them, but from their time and era, his words are lighter. They may, but they're just as rough as to tell somebody, are you crazy? He's saying it in a nice way. Are you out your mind? And then he goes on to say, let's go back to verse, and this is why I had to stop here, because, so that we understand what he's trying to get to them. He's letting them know, verse 22, verse 21, since by one man, even death was allowed into the world. He's talking about the death between of the spirit, the death between man and God. right? Because we know that Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they didn't physically die at that moment. But they opened the door to physical death from that moment forward. We talked about it last week, right? Because in the garden were two trees. They were the main trees that God had placed there for them. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That's what Eve ate from. But the other was the tree of life, right? And the tree of life was placed in the garden so that if a person ever got sick, they could go to the tree of life and eat, and it would rejuvenate your entire system. So you could have caught cancer. Satan could have put something on you. You would go right over to the tree of life and go and eat whatever that fruit was, and boom, everything was gone. So when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God then put a cherubim and a seraphim in that garden with flaming swords to keep man from ever entering in. Why? Because if man comes back in, now that he is filled with sin, man comes back in and eats from the tree of life, then you've got a sinful man living forever.
Come on.
To God. And so God, in his wisdom, and Paul is trying to share with them the same wisdom. He said, whoa, listen, since one man brought about this death, verse 22, just like Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all now be made alive. So now I may not physically live forever, but my spirit will live on forever in the kingdom. So I can physically die, but spiritually I get to live forever. And that is why we make choices about whether we end up in heaven or in hell. Praise the Lord. Because this physical body doesn't perish. This spiritual body lives on forever. And where it goes becomes important based upon what I know, who I am, and what I walk in. Does that make sense? So Paul is really reiterating these things. Now let's read forward. Everybody got that? Does everybody understand?
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. Verse 22, for as Adam all died, and Adam, everybody died, even so in Christ shall everybody be made alive. Right? But every man, verse 23, but every man will be made alive according to his own order. That's why some people get saved today and some will get saved in 5 years. If there's a time for it, if they so choose, and if God has selected them through his mercy and grace and said, you know, I still see something good in this person, and I'm going to bring them into the kingdom. It may take 5 years, 10 years, it may take 15 years. So that's why, especially as the body, you really cannot judge people where they are, because today's wino is tomorrow's T.D. Jakes. Yesterday's dope fiend is tomorrow's hope fiend. That you can't judge folk where they at, because you don't know what the plan and the intention of God, glory to God, is over their life. And that goes back to what Brother Lockheed was saying. That's why we have to treat each other a certain way. And loving people, and then we'll go on, but loving people, I want to make sure we get this. Loving people with agape love is not a matter of them earning love from us. Agape love does not love you because of who you are. Human love does that, right? I've been around you a long time. I love everything about you. You just, everything I need, you just show up with it so far, so I fall in love. I have this emotional connection. That's me loving you because of who you are. Agape love loves you in spite of what you are. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
It don't love you because of who you are. And that's why you can't ever get a big head in God. Because in all reality, no matter who you think you are, God is still looking at you in a way that he's going, I ain't loving you because of what you think you're doing. I'm loving you because of who I am and what I know you can become. And if we take that mentality, we remain humble, we remain blessed, and we remain open to love people with agape, because we begin to understand how agape has loved us. Make sense? So now let's move on. Go ahead and continue reading. Get down to verse 32, please.
Okay, I'll start at 24. I believe you read 21 and 22. So verse 23, but every man in his own order. Okay. You read that one. Should I start at 24?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of Yah, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rules and all authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Mm-hmm.
For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him, but subject unto him that put all things under him, that Yah may be all. That Yah may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead?
Mm-hmm.
And why in the jeopardy of every hour? Where am I stopping at, Apostle 32?
Mm-hmm, 32.
Okay. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Yahshua our Lord. I die dead if after the manner of man I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Mm-hmm. All right, so somebody share with me what he said in that particular group of scriptures. Right? Verse 23, after verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, talking about Jesus, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all the enemies under his feet. What does he mean by that? Who must reign? Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
Okay. And what does Jesus do here? What is he saying Jesus was going to do?
Humble all his enemies.
Is this talking about like the rapture process or like the ending process?
I think it's the end.
It's talking about when the end comes, right? When the end comes. And he's saying when the rapture comes, Jesus no longer remains the authority. He turns all the authority over to God.
Yeah.
Jesus becomes a saint just like all the other saints. He becomes spirit just like all the other spirits, so forth and so on, because the authority is now put back into the Father. In the book of Revelations, and it goes into the Father until the Father creates New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is when God actually brings the temple of God back to the earth. And the Bible says, and God will dwell with men again. In the book of Revelations, if you need to see it, let me know. I'll take you there. That's when God comes back. So at the end of this, God destroys the heavens. He destroys the earth. Then he creates a new heaven and a new earth. And he comes and builds a temple that's 144,000 furlongs by 144,000 furlongs in the book of Revelation. That is the equivalent of a city from the size of New York that goes all the way to Minnesota and then across the globe about the same length, 144 by 144. And when he comes back, his glory begins to reshine upon the earth. There won't be any need for a sun because the Bible says his glory will give all the light into the earth. Go, glory. I can't. God, thank you. Come on, come. You can come tomorrow if you want to. And so then all the saints get to dwell inside with God. You get to go in and worship, talk with him, and do all the wonderful things that you want to do. And remember, we talked about you have a spiritual body now. And in that spiritual body, it doesn't require the same things as a fleshly body. That's why there's no marriage in heaven. As Jesus said, there won't be any need for that. Because your spiritual body will be able to translate just like his body was able to. And you'll be able to go from here to Mars in the blinking or twinkling of an eye because you'll be able to just move through time. You'll know everything that God knew. you'll understand things in the way that God understands them. Everything you've ever been through will be so clear to you. Everything that God made will become knowledge to you. You'll understand how the stars are designed. You'll understand that the moon is designed to do a certain thing. You'll know where the wind comes from because you'll have that glory. Yeah, I hope somebody gets it. Mm-hmm. You'll have the same insight and knowledge that your God has about the creation of the very world that you lived on. You'll see things from a spiritual standpoint that your flesh cannot perceive.
Yes, hallelujah.
And he said at the end time that Jesus is going to resolve, listen to it again so you can tell me if you disagree. Listen to it. He says, 24, then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up the kingdom, and he's going to turn it over to God, even the Father, whom mm-hmm. he shall have put down all of his rule and all his authority and power. For he must rule till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Why? Because you know what the book of Revelation says, right? They shall weep no more. There's no longer any death. There'll be no more sickness. Mm-hmm. Disease doesn't exist. So what does that mean? Death has been defeated. You're now an eternal being in an eternal kingdom to last forever and ever and ever. And you won't be bored, guarantee you. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody get
it? I know I'm not. The amount of questions I have to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a lot to look forward to. So let's keep going. Let's go down to, where did we stop at? Verse 32?
Yes.
Right, let's go to verse 33, and we're going to talk about that tonight for a moment.
Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manner. Awake.
We'll stop by there. No, okay. Stop there. Don't be fooled. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. What in the world is he talking about? Eric, what's he talking about? What does that mean?
Oh, my goodness. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
And saying, you know, bad words. You know, repeating your bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that yes, having messed up conversations will start corrupting your the way you start coming off, eventually you are who you hang around. You know what I'm saying? So you having messed up conversations, even conversations, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to be coming off with the proper manner as a God-fearing person, you know, a man or a woman of God. You know what I mean? It's corrupt.
Yes,
your speech, your language is bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Where
are
we at on
33,
right?
We're on 33. Yes, sir.
So what I, because I actually highlighted that, and my Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So what I kind of get off that, you just got to be really, 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 really careful on who you're around, because you can be corrupted from that. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you do not know God at all. So, yeah, just basically just be really careful on who you keep around you.
You got to even be careful of family members. You got to be careful of your own children. You got to be careful of your own spouse. You got to be careful of people on your job. You have to make sure that you are on guard at your gate at all times, because you can't be with anybody. You can't be everywhere. There's certain places I can't even go into. I will be walking up to the door and I will get so convicted I have to turn around and go back home. Like, I can't even do it. Not to be funny, not to be acting like I'm bougie or I'm better than everybody. I let people know I simply get convicted on certain areas, certain people, and I can't even be in a room with them. And you'll get to that point, and if you're starting off in your walk, or if you've already been there, I'm quite sure a lot of us on this phone have already been there where you can't even be around people or letting people touch you or any of it. You can't eat from certain people's houses. It goes on and on.
You so right about that, sister. And I was just telling the people that I work with, you know what I'm saying? I tell a lot of people that I interact with about the different type of conversations, just sitting there, just foolish conversations. I'm not finna sit there and have them with you. You know what I'm saying? All that adultery stuff, all that. Oh man, bro, look at her, bro. She look good, bro. Bro, I don't get into all that. I got a wife at home. You know what I'm saying? And then it convicts me.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit can. I cannot even be talking to nobody like Arnold. What are you looking at? Oh, I'm sorry. You got a wife at home. You know what I'm saying? Or watching the way I talk. You know what I mean? The Holy Spirit will correct you, and you will start feeling convicted from a lot of stuff. But it's over time, too, though. It just don't happen. Like, at first, it wasn't like that, but it do happen over time.
Oh, yeah.
And I add that it's not just, like, communication with being in people, but it can come through TV and through the telephone as well, know? What you watching and who you allow in your ear portal talking over the phone as well to entertain those conversations. Or, you know, we have to have the strength and the courage to, you know, turn the channel when it's something that don't line up with what you got going on. Or even, you know, maybe your unsaved friend calling, and sometimes it's okay, you know, but there's limits and boundaries where you say you have to have the courage to cut it off and say, hey, we can't talk about that, you know.
I love the fact I have a really good friend that I've known for over 40 years. Well, I'm not going to say 40, about 30. And I love when she sat up there and said, when she was like, I can't kick it with you, Angela, like I do my other friends. She was like, you're saved, you're married, and all that other stuff. So she was like, I'm one way with you, and then I'm one way with other people. And I just looked at her and I thank you. She was like, I understand. I was like, okay. I was like, wow. You don't find
out like. Go ahead, if that was somebody talking. I was going to say, I also believe, you know, this is really for somebody, you know, speaking to the ones who may be just coming into their relationship with the Most High, and it's a reminder that, you know, you have to be okay with letting go of those old friends when they no longer serve who you becoming, you know, because they'll overtake you. You know, you will be start acting more like them if that's who you around, or versus your behavior rubbing off on them.
Yeah. That's why I make sure that I counsel, and I love my circle. I go to, you know what I'm saying? The people in my circle, they know me, I know them, and they're all gotta be.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to read something for us. This is out of the Ethiopian Bible, which is the oldest Bible. And this is Abram. And Abraham says this. He's going through some changes. He's dealing with his father, because everybody knows the scripture, but the Bible says, God told Abraham, get thee up and get thee out of that kindred's place and go somewhere else. What you don't see in the King James is that all of his family were idol worshipers. God had turned on them and told Abram, because he selected and chose to continue to have a relationship with Yahweh, his God. God told him, get up out of there, because the eventuality is their communication will corrupt you. Watch what Abraham says. Abraham says this. He says, my God, Most High, thou alone art my God, and thee and thy dominion have I chosen. And thou hast created all things, and all things that are the works of your hands. Everything I see, I get it now. He said, deliver me from the hands. Listen to this good. Deliver me from the hands of evil spirits who have dominion over the thoughts of men's hearts. And let them not lead me astray from thee, my God, and establish thou me and my seed forever, that we go not astray henceforth and forevermore. And so Abraham had come to a revelation. He began to realize that there are evil spirits on the planet, which is what Jesus was casting out of folk. that he began to realize those spirits are there whether you see them or not. And the only way that you know that that spirit, that one of those spirits have come into your life, is when you become corrupt in communication and thought and emotions. Let me try this again. When you become corrupt, because what is our natural status? To walk in love, just like the God that created us. So when I can't function in love, something has gotten a hold of me. Anybody listen? When I'm answering you in anger, something slipped in on me. When I'm talking to you and my talk is about judgment over you, something slipped in and got a hold of me. Because how does the broken judge the broke? I don't get it. And so something ended up slipping in, and I didn't catch it because I didn't see it. And so what Abraham had a revelation on was that there are things out here that are not visible to man, but they can overrule a man's heart if you don't keep it clean. So corrupt communication. Anybody listening?
Yes,
man.
So when I have folk in my ear and they're corrupt, what are they doing? They're spreading that spirit like a cold.
There's spiritual
COVID out in the area, in the community, in the country, in the land. Pay attention right now. I want you to open your spiritual eyes, right? Pay attention, because I know I got saints on the phone. So watch what I'm getting ready to say. When you look at the news, it's 10 years ago, maybe one person did something so ridiculous as to have a mass shooting. 10 years later, every day there's a mass shooting. What happened? People are being infected. Mm-hmm. How are they being infected? Let me tell you what the greatest device of Satan is right now. It's a great tool for God, but it's a device for Satan. And here's the infection device. Your phone, your television, your radio, you're listening.
Yeah.
All those things are what Satan is using. If you ever asked yourself, okay, everything has to have a seed, right? Jesus Christ said, lest a thing die, the seed cannot propagate and grow new life. So everything has to have a seed, including evil. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense? Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So if evil has to have a seed, it has to have a place to come from in order for it to continue to sprout. Where do you think evil seed lies? Let's see the saints over here. Where
your
do you
heart.
Think the seed of Satan is?
Your heart. Your belief.
Your mind.
Okay.
Your
what?
The flesh.
The flesh, okay. Anybody else?
Your thoughts?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? That's your mind, right? Now, my question was, I want you to listen good. Where does the seed come from, not where does it land? Every answer talked about where the seed lands, your heart, your thoughts, your mind, right?
In the book with
but
Adam.
But a
Adam.
Seed, go ahead, say it again.
That's where the seed was planted at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
When they
It might be the way I asked the question. I don't think it's you. I think it's the way I asked the question. So for a male, if I can be quite bold, men have seed in their bodies. Women receive a seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They're the receptors of the seed that becomes, when copulation takes place, that becomes a fertilized egg and then a baby, right? So a seed has to come from somewhere in order for it to fertilize in us and we become evil. Where did the seed come from?
Our fathers. Our dads.
And you believe it came from our dads, okay? Where did your dad get it from?
From his dad. It's generational.
And you think his dad got it from his dad and so forth and so on. But how did they get it in the first place is where I'm going. So we see Adam, right? We know Adam was the first seed for evil, right?
Adam and Eve.
Okay. So now let me ask you to see this for a second and see if you don't agree. Every seed, just like Paul said about the word of God, and we'll read that as we go into the deeper into the book of Corinthians, Paul said, Paul plants the seed, Apollos waters a seed, and only God can give an increase to a seed. So there has to be a planting, there has to be a watering. So how does that evil seed continuously get watered?
By what you see and what you watch and what you hear and what you allow.
And who puts that out?
Satan.
Satan.
Yeah. Satan through who? I want to narrow it down. Satan does it, but through what mechanisms? Through who? Who's in charge of Satan's seed right now? If you could just pinpoint it and say, I know the place it comes from. Where do you think it comes from?
Pride.
Where?
Pride.
Pride, okay. That's an internal thing. Now, make sure you're paying attention. Those are internal things. This television. Who's in charge of television? Who's making the movies?
Hollywood.
Thank you, somebody. Praise the Lord. Hollywood is the seed of Satan. Let me try it again. Hollywood is the seed of Satan. Let me take you back and you'll see it. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You want to hear it? You want to hear? All right, here we go. 1975. If you saw a television program and there was a husband and a wife on that program, the husband was sleeping in one bed and the wife was in another.
Love Lucy.
Even though they were married, right?
Mm-hmm.
By 1980, husbands and wives were sleeping in the same bed on television. By 1985, they were beginning to show naked bodies. By 1990, they were having sex on television. Your children that watched commercials or cartoons, I'm sorry, when your children were watching cartoons, they were watching Bugs Bunny, they were watching Daffy Duck, they were watching Felix the Cat and things like that. By the time 1990 hit, the average child saw 1,000 murders through cartoons that had never been there before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the year 2000, you're watching men and women on TV having sex with men and women.
All right.
So, oh God, can anybody see it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood is being used by Satan to plant the seed. That's why you see, even now we've gotten to a place where you have to give your pronouns.
I still don't get that.
Well, that's because they have planted enough seed. They're looking to see how much that seed has been watered. And so the more people go in, him, her, them.
That's it. To
the
keep
more
rapping.
They can die.
Yeah, data.
So,
can I add to that?
Lord, please. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So I feel like, and where, society is now with a lot of this stuff, like you're saying, pronouns, is because it's more, I feel like from what I've seen and what I've dealt with in my life, passing the road, me and you have many talks, is a lot of people. One thing I noticed about, because I used to be a video game player, I used to watch a lot of movies, TV shows, be all into that. They kind of put you into this like fantasy world. And the reason why I say that, because like once you start really getting into these TVs and movies and music and all the other stuff, you kind of embody, like there's this singer I was really, how would I say, into at the time. His name was The Weeknd, and I was like kind of embodying who he was through his lyrics. And it wasn't until I really started getting into God and I kind of like stopped watching all that other stuff, things started to become more real for me. But then I kind of backtracked and I got back into TVs and stuff like that, I started to notice that my imagination kept running wild even more the more I got more into the TV shows and the movies and stuff like that. So I feel like Satan uses Hollywood to kind of keep you in this
fantasy world so that you're not really seeing the real world.
Yeah, that's powerful, right? And so what am I saying? So we're on verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manner. So what am I really saying to you? I'm saying you're at a point, if you really want to be the absolute best, and I said this before, and I'll say it again, the worst thing that could ever happen to a believer, is that with God's divine purpose in making you a unique individual, that is that you become a carbon copy of somebody else. The worst enemy for a believer is not Satan, but it's an enemy called average. To not believe that you're more than where you are, what you can do now, and what God is going to have you doing in times to come as the Holy Ghost begins to teach, infuse knowledge, begin to input information and revelation in you, you are a thousand times more than where you are right now, including me. Where I am right now is not where I'm going to be 5 years from now, neither will you. And so if I keep having corrupt communications, the corrupt communications disrupts my destiny. If I got the wrong folk in my ear, it's disrupting my destiny. Now, I'm not saying, so do we get this? I'm not saying you shouldn't be around old buddies. You shouldn't be around old friends. You shouldn't be around cuz and unc and junior. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when you get filled and you become everything that God wants you to be, when you go around cuz, junior, and Uncle Bobby, you're going to have so much anointing in you, Uncle Bobby, cousin, junior, coming out of that mess. But if you ain't got enough of it in you, you will get pulled into that mess. Because Uncle Bobby has been who Uncle Bobby has been for 50 years. You've been saved 6 months. Who's the strongest right now? glory to God.
And that's what happened.
I have to let him fix me. And once he fixes those things in me, because that's what he's trying to do. And that's why I have to be in church. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake fellowshipping one with another. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. When you're around folk talking about God, loving God, they're sharpening your tools up so you can go out and build just like Jesus did. Ain't it funny that we call Jesus a carpenter? But if you read the Bible, you'll never see one house that he ever built. He didn't make one table. He didn't make no chairs. He didn't make any pianos. He didn't build any walls. He didn't do drywall. He didn't do brick masonry. He did none of that stuff. But he's a master rebuilder of human time. He's a master rebuilder of the soul.
Yes.
The way I think, the way I look at things, the way I receive from things. And the only thing that can intervene or get in the way of his master building is what I got, corrupt communication around me all the time. People that I'm arguing with, people that I'm frustrated by, people that I'm having anxiety attacks over, people that make me depressed, people that make me stressed. When I got all that mess around me, that's corruption coming out. And I don't see the corruption. I just see the people. And I think this is normal. And God is trying to tell me, you, us, that is not normal, because that's not what you were constructed for. That is what Satan has done through his seed.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Well, when we were speaking of Hollywood, what I heard was programs, and that's that way. When we watching the movies and listening to the music, that's programming people. It's basically programming you. And then the only way to be deprogrammed from that is through the word, like you said, because if you being programmed by the movies and you living in this world, you know, this other reality, like Brother Latif was saying, you won't ever be able to know who you are in the Most High, you know. So you'll find yourself seeking those things of the world and wanting to become those things, but being programmed in that. And that's how everybody, the majority, is being soaked in, you know? because they being programmed. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do, program us. But we don't know what the real program is.
Yes, ma'am.
And you are so right, too, sister, especially when it comes to, like, what you watching and what you listening to. And that's the real reason why I don't even listen to all that, like, music that I listen to. Like, I have to unfollow people, unlisten to music, because it do subconsciously get you in a mode. And we don't, if you don't pay attention to your body, you would just think it's normal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but do a study. I'm telling you, listen to some Christian music for a straight week, and then go listen to your regular music and tell me how you feel. We're doing both of
them. Well said. Who will get ready to speak?
And then it also gives you false expectations, too, with the TV, the music, stuff. And then you'll start trying to live like the Joneses, and you ain't got the Joneses money. It will it will win, and it'll make you have, like, because when I was a little girl, I used to always watch princess cartoons and stuff like that. And I had to catch myself in my real marriage, because I was married a couple other times for practice. But in my real marriage, I thought that Marcel was supposed to be my knight in shining armor, and he was going to be lovey-dove all the time, and he was going to bring me flowers every day and all that. Mm-hmm. And I had to check myself, because my head was in the clouds. That's not real life. And I know my husband, he's got a little, you know, a little gut and all that. He's getting older. He's not going to be looking like one of the wrestlers on WWF. It's just not going to happen. It's unrealistic expectations that is keeping us, you know, from going forward and being thrust into our purposes with our marriage, our families. You know what I'm saying? Our work life and all that other stuff. You know, every day you're not going to go to work and it's going to be peaches and cream. Or every day it's, you know, people are going to be talking about you. It's the real stuff. And then you get so disappointed because you have this expectation. Expectation is what is really, really hindering the body of Christ, because we have a false expectation. Life is life on life's terms, and things aren't going to be peaches and cream. People aren't, your wife isn't going to be looking like she's top model, you know what I'm saying, after having kids. You know, we talk so much about that, but are we really doing something about it? Are we moving forward and saying, you know, I had this epiphany in my own marriage, and I had to be like, okay, I was actually trying to change my husband.
Yep.
I was actually trying to change him into what I thought a man should be.
Yes. Program him, yes.
I wanted him to be everything for me. He better be perfect. Oh, he better be perfect. Oh, you're not romantic enough. Nope. I want this better. Nope. Okay, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm going to use this as a weapon. I'm going to silence you and all that other stuff. Pastor Moreau knows all about it. It was crazy. It was all madness because of the expectations, because what we see in the world on TV, you know, she has a baby, she drops a baby or whatever, and she looked like she ain't never had kids a day in her life, you know, all of that stuff. And then we look at our wives and be like, ugh, I don't want you no more. Then you start fantasizing about other people and all that. It's all a trap. It's just a whole thing to keep you from your purpose, expectation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Like and
the,
well
it
said.
It sounds like the world and the world's ways of living and thinking.
Yeah.
That's the world's
absolutely.
Ways of living and thinking. We're supposed to transform.
Amen.
I want to share this too. I've always loved to dress. And I used to always spend my money on clothes when I was growing up. I used to go into stores when I was a little girl and grab everything that I loved, threw it in a shopping cart, and I would go. The store was called Prangy Way. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I would go into the store and I would try on all these clothes. And then when I grew up, I started buying all these clothes and all that other stuff, and I had a false, how I want to say it. Image of myself so I could fit in, and everybody's like, look at Angela, you know, and all that. But now I buy my clothes because I want to represent Christ.
Hallelujah.
So there's a big
transformation.
Difference. I want to represent
mm-hmm.
Christ. I want to look professional and all that, because I have to carry myself because, you know, I am an ambassador of Christ. So there's a difference. And now the Holy Spirit convicts me when I buy clothes and all that other stuff. So we got to get from there to there, to where we are doing everything in Christ, everything for Christ, everything is centered, and the objective is Christ. That's it. That's all.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. That sort of kind of leads us right into the next verse. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness.
Verse 30 what?
And sin not. Verse 34. 15:34. First Corinthians 15:34. King James, we just talked about, be not deceived. Don't get fooled anymore. Be careful of communication. It disrupts your manners. It's just got that ability. Mm-hmm. Satan knows what he's doing until you get strong in the Lord. And I'm going to go back just to one thing. When you get strong in the Lord, as you get stronger in the Lord, when you are converted, you'll be able to look at television and know exactly what they're selling you.
Amen.
You'll see it. It'll be so clear to you. Whoa, look at what they're selling. Oh, look mm-hmm. at how they tricked me and how they're tricking other people. You'll see it. It's so clear. Right? But verse 34 says, come out of that place, awake to righteousness, and sin no more. For some have not the knowledge of God. Mm. And I speak to that in a shame. It's a shame where they are. It's a shame what they don't see. It's a shame that they've been blinded by the enemy of this world. Verse 35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come back with? Now he's talking about spiritual body. That you're going to have it. And then he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest will never be quickened except it die.
Come on. Yes, sir.
That which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased God. And to every seed, he's going to give his own body. That goes back to what we were talking about. You're going to have a marvelous, amazing spiritual body. Wisdom, knowledge, all that's going to flood in, rush in, no matter what you knew or didn't know on this side. When you get to the other side, oh, glory to God.
Come on.
Or should he come back in time and we don't even have to go through that process of leaving this planet? There's going to be a rude awakening on some folks because they don't carry a knowledge of God. They don't care about God. That's their life. It's okay. But in all reality, if you own this phone, you got to know you a saint and not an ain't. You are someone that God has called it with purpose, with reason. And if you don't get that part, you're going to lose a whole lot of time. I don't want to be 90 and get it. I want to get it now. You're going to lose a whole lot of time playing with some folks and trying to figure out how to intermix or get in where you fit in with sin. You can't fit in with sin. Sin is sin. You have to make your mind up. It's time to come out of that. I don't want that anymore. I see what it produces. I've seen this mess. It ain't like I'm blind anymore. I see what it was producing. I couldn't pay my bills. I see what it is producing. I can't keep a woman in my life. I see what it's producing. My kids hate me. I see what it produced. My kids are mad and all over the place. I see what it produced. And the minute you come from under that authority of the enemy and being transformed by the renewing of your mind, grace kicks in, and all the sin that Satan has thrown into your life gets abolished.
Hallelujah. Glory. Yes.
But as long as we do not accept who he says we are in him, that sin will follow you around like junk in the trunk, and you don't know why it's always heavy. But it's going to stay heavy. It stays heavy. And it's always heavy. I can't even come in the house smiling. Why? Because I'm heavy. Can't go. I can't say hi to nobody. Why? Because I'm too heavy. I can't go hug nobody. Because I'm too heavy. In fact, don't you come hug me because I'm so heavy, I'll pull you down. That mess. Glory to God. God is saying, no, you're out of it. Glory to God. And I thank him that he allowed us to come out long enough to be able to see the difference between what's in the world and what is in the kingdom. Let's keep reading, though. Right? We read verse 30, what? Wanda.
I think you just read 34, so maybe we on 35.
Yes, go from 35. Let's read through this because we're running out of time.
Verse 35 says, some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that that body that shall be, but bare grain. Okay, let's see. But bare grain is things of or of some other grain. But Yah giveth it a body, and it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the flesh, but there is one kind of man, another flesh of meat, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies celestial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and one glory, one another, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown up in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in it is raised.
I'm sorry. I was excited about that. I just want to make sure everybody got it. The physical body now is in corruption because of Adam. That's why he went through all that. Adam, by one man, Adam, everybody died. By another man, Christ, everybody will be resurrected. And he's saying it's a corrupted body now, but when it goes down, it's going to come up as an incorruptible spirit.
Yes. It is sown in this, it is raised in glory. It is sown in wickedness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. Hallelujah. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 45. And it is written, the first man, Adam, was made in made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of Yah, from heaven. As the earthly, such are they also. They are earthly. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have been born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yah, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I say to you, a majesty, we shall not all sleep. Mystery. Okay. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must be put on immorality.
So for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Mortality. Oh, okay, I said immorality. Immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on the immortality, then shall he brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Yah, which giveth us the victory through our Yah, Yahshua HaMashiach. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yah. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in Yah, in the Lord.
Amen and amen. Right? You see how he ends that? So he says, if you take care of my family, verse 50, I'll be taking care of your family. Put your work, your energy, your effort in the kingdom, and I put work, effort, and energy into the carnal side of your life.
I receive
that. Yes. We have a responsibility because the Bible says, the man that does not take care of his own family is an infidel. That's in your Bible. We have a responsibility to be good stewards over the things that God gave us, including our children, including our wives or husbands, including, you know, the family members that God draws to us. And I would share this with you too tonight. Please hear it. If God didn't draw it, don't you go get it. Let me try that again.
Come on.
If God didn't draw it, you shouldn't be going to look for it. What God wants in your life, he will bring to your life because he knows what you can bear.
Yeah.
And some of us go drawing people that God is really trying to keep you from touching. That's why he said corrupt communication brings about. Right?
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
Because he knows that there's certain people that have an influence over you. And there's certain people that you will have an influence over. And it becomes part of our responsibility as men and women of God to start paying attention to who's impacting me and who am I impacting. Because if I can't, see, I should hurt, if I go into a den of folks that's sitting up snorting drugs, drinking booze, doing anything, and I go into a whole house full of them, I ain't afraid to go into the house because I know who I am. And I've been doing this long enough. I know they ain't going to flip me. And I'll know when that feeling comes over and I go, man, I feel like I need to have a drink. I'm out of there.
Yeah,
right? I got enough wisdom now.
Yeah.
But when I go into a place, this field of people doing stuff that is hurting them first, second, it's hurting their relationship with God. Thirdly, it's hurting their relationship with their inner circles. Fourthly, is hurting their relationship with their own families, right? That's what drugs do. Hurts you first. Hurts you, makes it almost impossible to have a relationship with God, second. Makes it totally impossible to keep a family and do the right things unless you got a whole bunch of people around you that's just putting up with you, right? They ain't loving you, they putting up with you. Let me try it again. They ain't loving you, they putting up with you. I've seen some folks that were on drugs and alcohol and so forth and so on, and it got so bad that the wife stopped being the wife and started being the mama. And then, because she had to clean up all the grown man's mess, right? And so it got so bad that all the relationships shifted. That's what sin's intention is to shift all the relationships around you and have people tolerating you rather than loving you.
Come on.
I don't want to be tolerated.
I want to be
tolerated. I didn't speak for nobody. I do not want to be. I don't want people putting up with me because. I don't even have to say because. They're just putting up with me. I want some people to respect me. I want to be the person that if something happens and I leave the place, people will miss me, not applauding because I'm gone. I'm so glad he's out of here. I don't know what to tell you. God. Right? And so God begins to talk about, right, put your works into the kingdom and watch and see. Don't I start fixing the things around you. Right?
Ooh, yeah.
Because we think we can fix it, and I can tell you for most of us, it's too big to fix.
someone.
It was in my life. It's too big for me to fix it. I don't know how to fix, manage, and control everybody. Just when you think you got through to somebody, they turn around and do something even more tragic and ridiculous than what you thought you had just fixed. It just becomes unmanageable. But when you trust God and you let him work on you,
yes,
and you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, something starts to happening in the household. Something starts happening with the kids. Like Sister Angie said, people start going, well, I'm one way around you. I do like this when I'm over there, but when I'm around you, I'm a much better person. I don't want to do all that stuff I was doing when I'm over your house, because there's just something about you. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
There's just something about being in your presence.
Hallelujah.
And that's who you are as a saint. Something about you that'll make a person feel better. They'll come in your house, they'll feel a peace they ain't never seen before. They'll just be sitting at it and going, and they'll tell you too, man, I don't know what it is when I come to your house. I just feel so different. That's what God wants to use us to do.
Sir, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what he's trying to use you to do. But you got to be willing to let go of corrupt communication. Because as long as someone is in our ear with negativity, hostilities, right, indifferences, arguments, diatribe, so long as you've got that around you, it is meant to keep you with the seed. It's watering the seed of Satan. That's the water. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. So we're going to close right there. I'm going to open it up for discussion. We've got a few minutes, 5 minutes. The floor is open for discussion. What did we get tonight? Share your thoughts. So I'll go around the room. I'll start with Brother Eric. And Sister Denise, any thoughts?
You gotta be careful with the company you keep.
You made it simple, Eric. Praise the Lord. Careful with the company you keep. Glory to God. Sister Denise.
Corruption, you know, just corruption comes in so many different ways, and it makes me grateful the way I am. You know, like I don't watch a bunch of TV, I don't listen to a bunch of radio, I don't, you know, nature and the outdoors, the trees will talk to me, the wind will speak to me. I don't need all of that. Mm-hmm. So it makes me grateful to know. I can improve, you know, in that area, right? But I'm grateful to know it lines up with the will and the word of God.
Hallelujah.
And that the fruit, you know, that I am living and giving other people is good. That that to stay focused on the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, it was really good. So I'm grateful.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Eric. Let me go to Brother Lachi. Closing thoughts?
Yeah, just being, you know, really vigilant on what's around you, what you see, what you soak in, stuff like that, and just kind of, you know, just being really mindful and protecting your heart, you know, from any type of any seed planting. Keep God, you know, keep the seed from God. Remove the seeds from Satan is what I got. And you know, just really understanding, you know, how our bodies are going to be raised in glory, and, you know, just also taking care of the body of Christ. So that's what I got out of that.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. That was beautifully said. Let's go to Sister Angela.
I was very receptive to the Bible study, like I always am, and I just thank and praise God for all of the good teachings and sound doctrine that we receive. So I just want to say I love you. I love the part about the kingdom. You know, everything should be pointing towards Jesus, just like the Bible did and does. you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God concealed, I mean, Jesus concealed, and then Jesus revealed. Everything that we're here for, point blank, period, is the kingdom. We were not because of ourselves. God wakes us up. And we should be doing, we should be doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that is advancing the kingdom of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Very well said.
You know, we get that in our heart and stuff like that. Everything will start falling in order, because I've heard from a really, really great mentor that if you be about God's business, he will be about yours. You ain't got to do anything but just be for the kingdom of God, the advancement of the kingdom. You know, how dare we sit back and we just, you know, take this lightly. It's not lightly. You know, you're here for a reason. Everybody's on this earth for a reason. Everybody has their part to play. And so when we get to the point where we focus on God, you got to, like Pastor Moreau teaches, get it for yourself and go out there and get in and you know, help others get it. You got to get it for yourself. It's not about you. It never was about you. It's about advancing their souls out here that need to be brought, you know, to Jesus. So when you do the Great Commission, you got it. You're doing it. That's where God wants us to be. Because all the other stuff is just all questions.
Yeah, that's powerful, right? That really is powerful. I think the more we get that in our heads, that it's not really all about me anymore. It just changes something in our hearts and our minds. Let me go to Brother DeJuan. Brother DeJuan, you have any closing thoughts?
Yes, life is about doing for others, not yourself. Doing for other people and investing their lives as well as yours.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Let's go to Sister Hawanda, and then we're going to end with you, Brother.
What stood out to me was talking about the flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of Yah. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So that's just basically saying that as long as we in our flesh, that's corruption. You know, we walking in corruption, but if we willing to submit our flesh, then that's meaning dying to ourselves and our desires, that we can, you know, walk in our Father's ways, and that's how we inherit the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. Brother Evans?
Yes, sir. It was definitely a great one. What stood out to me was the process of how they was talking about, you know, the body is different from the heavenly body, and the difference of them, you know, with the heavenly body would be living forever, eternally, and this body that we live down here is more into sin. And also just being aware of, you know, the type of people that you're around, the conversations, you know, how you just coming off, what you watching, what you taking in, how you discerning things, you know, just being more aware and letting the Holy Spirit just guide you, you know.
Yeah.
God, man. That's what I would say that I got out of this.
Amen.
Thank you. Again, well said. As we get ready to close tonight, Sister Hawan, I'm going to have you to close, but just as an encouraging word, you really, I would say this, is I keep it simple. Give God 1 year of doing what God says. If it don't work, you can always go back.
Yeah.
Right? You can jump and go always be there. Give him a year of your life and just say, God, I'm gonna do my very best to do everything that's in this Bible. Yes, I might fall a little bit. Yes, I might slip a little bit, but I'm gonna get right back up and get right back on the horse. I'm gonna keep riding towards destiny. But I'm gonna give it a year just to see how powerful and how real you are. Because God really wants to prove he's God.
Hallelujah.
God don't want the pastor to convince you he's God. God wants God to convince you he's God. And the pastor is just a mouthpiece to help you to go for yourself and get all of the destiny you deserve. And so I close with John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and life more abundant. And it's not abundant for me to have a lot of money, but to be frustrated all the time. Not abundant for me to not have the money to pay my bills. That is not abundance, which means just like what Paul was saying, okay, what's wrong here? Because did he actually die and rise again, or did he not? Someplace doubt can seep in, and I could be forfeiting and thwarting my own miracles through doubt. And the biggest place that doubt creeps in is through other men's voices. That's who Paul was arguing with, other men's voices. Mm. If he didn't die, then we're all still in sin. He was yelling back at those voices and saying, get this corrupt communication away from me. Glory to God. Is that a good summary? Dealing with exactly what he was talking about to make sure that they understood. You can't not convince me how good God is. You can't usurp his throne. So everybody, we love you with the love of Christ. Sister Hawanda, if you'd be kind enough to take us out in prayer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Yes, God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. We thank you for the seed that was sown on today, and we thank you for the watering of the seed. Now, we have expectations that you will give the increase, that the evidence will be made known to our neighbors and our neighbors' neighbors, not that we will have sown in us for ourselves, hallelujah, that we will become stewards and disciples, hallelujah, that we will share of your goodness, hallelujah, of your grace, of your mercy, of who you are by allowing our light to shine so bright, hallelujah, that darkness has no comprehension, hallelujah, that we will be the light and the salt of the world, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
yes,
we won't be that incorruptible seed, we won't be that corruptible seed any longer. That we will choose and use wisdom, that's the wisdom from you, to choose what we will allow ourselves to listen to, choose where we will take our feet, choose where we will go, choose the words that will come out of our mouth, that we won't be the one that's causing the corruption no longer. And as you reminded me, the word is through the text that we come out of agreement with everything, every seed that was sown that was outside of your will for our life. Those seeds of music that we used to listen to in the past, those conversations that we used to entertain, those places that we used to go, we come out of agreement with it, because if the seed was sown, it's still there. And we know that all things to come up and out in order for us to become that new creature that you designed us to be. So we tell it to come up and out, and we come out of agreement with it. Every song that we sang that lined up with that we came into agreement, that belief that we believe when somebody says you will never be nothing, we come out of agreement with it. Everything that somebody told us that don't line up with who you called us to be, we come out of agreement with it, and we say we thank you that you have given us some good seed today, that you said, hallelujah, you know the plans that you have for our life, plans to prosper us and give us hope for a future, and that you made no mistakes when you made us. So I thank you that you made us out of some good
stuff.
And you say the steps of a good man are ordered by Yah. So I thank you that we surrender our whole will to you, not half on today, that you told us that we can cast all of our cares on you because you care for us on today. So there's no weight that's too strong, that's too heavy for you. There's nothing that's too hard for you. There's nothing that's too big for you. Hallelujah.
Well,
that you can't
reminder, and I thank you that even if we have enemies and if we have fear, that ain't nothing or nobody too big to box with you, that you can handle all our situations and our matters. So we cast all our cares upon you on today because you care for us. We lay all our burdens at your feet because we know that you are the burden carrier. Hallelujah. You said
thank you,
were
Jesus.
Bruised for our transgressions. You was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. So I thank you that minds are being healed on the line on today.
Well,
hallelujah. That
thank
hearts
you,
and emotions are being
right
mended
now,
on the line today.
You,
that somebody is laying away the old man and thinking about taking up the new. Because we
amen.
Thank you that it's not because of the benefits that you give us for walking in your statutes, because it's your word and your word alone that will stand. Your word alone, that's the solid foundation. We can't stand firm on our word, but we can stand firm on yours. So I thank you for being the roadmap that we need. I thank you for being the personal GPS. I thank you for being everything that we need. And I thank you that there is nothing missing in you. Hallelujah. So I just really want to just touch and agree with my family with everything and every request that they have up before you. We even pray for the sick and afflicted, the lost, the lonely, the hungry, those who are locked away. We pray for the leaders of the nation right now. We lift them up to you. We say not our will be done, but that your perfect will be done. I pray for the leaders that you have given us to shepherd over us, that you begin to give them more and more of your revelation knowledge, that you bring healing in every place that's hidden. Hallelujah. That everything be uprooted. Hallelujah. So that we can continue to get the unadulterated word of Yah. Hallelujah. And I thank you that the blessing flows from the head down. And I thank you that there is nothing missing and that we are already equipped with exactly what you want us to do. So forgive us. We repent on today and ask you to forgive us for thinking less of ourselves, because that's counted as speaking as well. For thinking less of ourselves and staying in that dark and lowly place, knowing that it's of the enemy, when you said
amen.
You came, they have life. So forgive us for living outside of your statutes at any part of our life. We just want to thank you for accepting us back into your fold. Hallelujah, because you the one said you will never leave us nor forsake us. However, we ask you to forgive us for leaving you. Because
yes,
we're the one that leave you. You don't leave us. Hallelujah. So I thank you that your word is perfect and that your will is perfect and that your kingdom come and that your perfect will be done in our life on today. Not what we desire. Allow our goals and our plans to line up with your will for our life so that we walk in purpose and that we can be the difference in the world. And I thank you. And I love you. And I thank you for everybody that's on the line. I thank you for those that couldn't be here, that desire to be on the line. I thank you for those who may be in a place to where they can't reach the line. Hallelujah. We stand in the gap and we touch and agree that you are even sending ministering angels to them right now. Hallelujah. That you are being a lamp into their feet and a light into their path. So we thank you for divine direction, and we thank you for a covering like never before. But as we leave this place, but not your presence, I pray that your anointing rests on us. Hallelujah. I pray that your anointing rests on us, because it's the anointing that destroys yokes, that we not focus on nobody else, because we got enough stuff to fix in our own life. Help us to focus on ourselves and work out our own soul salvation, and that with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. And then the anointing on our life will draw men. We won't have to even open our mouths. Hallelujah. The call that's on our life will draw. We won't have to chase. It will draw. And I thank you for preparing us and putting us in a place that we are drawers to your kingdom. Not chasers, that we will draw people to you in this season. And I decree and declare that thing in Yahshua HaMashiach's mighty name. So be it.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say
amen,
somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Love you all with the love of Christ.
Hey. All right. Love you all.
Yes.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody, if you guys are still on, I sent a letter to T-Von. I ended up finding out where he's at right now, and I don't know if, like, anybody else wants to send something to him to lift his spirits while he's in, you know, where he's at right now. I have all the information if anybody wanted to send something to him, too, just to lift his spirits.
You talking about brother
there.
Who?
T-Von.
Yeah,
T-Von.
T-Von.
Mm-hmm.
The brother from Rockford?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had
a whole issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I have all. Do you guys want it? If you guys want to send him like a letter or something, I don't know how to get like, in contact like him to actually make a phone call, but I did send him a letter. So he's at do you guys want me to write it down?
Yeah, no, I think I've got everybody's number. I think you sent it to me. How many people want that information? And I'll send it over to you. I'll text it.
Brother Arnold.
Okay, one.
No.
Dude.
Okay, got it. All right,
it.
So we'll do that. All right, Sister Hawanda, gotcha. I'll send it over to you this evening. And again, oh, by the way, Saturday at 1 o'clock, we're meeting on the north side. We're getting ready to begin our prayer and peace walks on the north side. We have been very blessed. I thank God for all the anointing that's around us because we have walked throughout this whole entire summer and early spring, and we've had so little violence this year, and we praise God for it, and we're going to try to close out the year with more prayer and peace walks. We have to go out and let the world know God is bigger than Satan. He really
is.
And we got to let them know. And we got to carry the love of God into the community, and then we'll draw people. Amen. So
amen.
Saturday at 1 o'clock, we're meeting on the north side. If anybody needs information on it, contact me. I'll send you the address that we're meeting. We're walking from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And we're going to eat afterwards and fellowship a little bit, and then everybody's going to go back to their Saturday. But we are going to continue what we've been doing.
Ride that wants to go. Is there anybody we can reach out to that might be coming from a certain place?
I'm sorry, say that again?
A ride, like if somebody needs a ride.
We'll get them a ride. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Just reach out to me. You got my number.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right, reach out to me. We'll get a ride arranged, whatever needs to be done. If they're willing to walk and chant and do what we do, praise God. We're grateful for the extra voices. So love you all. I'll see some
love
of you on Saturday and certainly some of you on Sunday. But God bless everybody. Stay positive. Stay away from the wrong communication. Start working on that. You may not have it licked yet, but work on it. Pay attention to it. What does the conversation with this, what do they make me feel like? Did I come out of that conversation and start being angry or feeling bad about something? Pay attention to it. God wants you to see all that. So I love you all. Talk to you soon.
Love you all.
Love you too. Love you too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.